الحمد لله رب العالمين عدد خلقه ورضا نفسه وزنة عرشه ومداد كلماته ومنتهى علمه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الإنسان إنك كادح إلى ربك كدحا فملاقيه فأما من أوتي كتابه بيمينه فسوف يحاسب حسابا يسيرا وينقلب إلى أهله مسرورا وأما من أوتي كتابه وراء ظهره فسوف يدعو ثبورا ويصلى سعيرا إنه كان في أهله مسرورا إنه ظن أن لن يحور بلى إن ربه كان به بصيرا آمنت بالله صدق الله العظيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم فاق النبيين في خلق وفي خلق ولم يدانوه في علم ولا كرم السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أما بعد The Quran is such a book that when one recites it or listens to it with understanding and reflection, it's as though all the world disappears and a person becomes absorbed into the light of the Quran and the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if a person listens or reads with heedless heart, then listening to all Quran is such that it doesn't go beyond one's throat or one's ears. The verses which I have recited, the reality which is mentioned there, which I have been mentioning to you again and again about shaitanic deal and the deal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with Jesus. As you have heard what the brother was saying, if you don't follow the commands and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are a toy for shaitan. You are not a match but a toy that whenever he wants finish you off. You are like weaponless, shieldless, armorless, and sitting with your head down in the feet of shaitan. So whenever he wants to just blow and just ever want to cut it, if he can. That is the example if the spiritual world of a person who is has gone on the way of rebelliousness and have gone on the way of sinfulness, abundance, and he is like his head down front of shaitan. So he says, now I have no problem now. Whenever he gives you respite or he makes you his foot soldier, whenever he wants to actually come with a blow or of a sword of sin or kufr, and there your iman and actually and amal, they are gone as such. So you are a toy if you are like that. But if you are armored or you have covered yourself with the prophetic teaching, the teaching of truth and teaching of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, teaching of the sunnah, the prophetic way, the good traits, the good qualities, the way of the anbiya, it's as though you are not only a match for shaitan, but you are a match, such match that you are giving hard time to him. Like Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, about Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentioned about him that even the devil fears him. When he is walking along a path, he changes his path where he sees Sayyidina Umar. Why? Because he was strict on the sunnah. And if you are not, then any time, it's just a matter of, as they say, not if but when he wants to do it, he can destroy you. Because you already you have head down, your neck is there, and there he can finish you off. So don't become a toy, become a match, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created you to be a match in that war with shaitan. He has equipped you, given you mind and intellect and planning and wisdom through Quran and the prophetic teachings as well. So the ball is in your court. But anyway, Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, which I mentioned, that shaitan wants you to be happy now only for a short while and enjoy, and then be in torture and punishment forever. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in these verses which I have recited, that the person on the day of judgment who have done righteous deed, وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا, he will be masroor, happy, joyous on that day and forever then, because what he has done, as in the Quran, وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ يَقُولُ هَاؤُمُ اقْرَءُوا كِتَابِيَ إِنِّي ظَنَنْتُ أَنِّي مُلَاقٍ حِسَابِيَ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ في جنة عالية. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا هَنِيًّا بِمَا أَسْلَفْتُمْ فِي الْأَيَّامِ الْخَالِيَةِ, that the days of dunya, what you have done, now it's all enjoyment is the result of that. That your book is in the right deeds. And he will say, come, O people, O friends, O family, showing to his family, mother, fathers, brothers, friends, this is the, I have enjoyed. وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ, he will return very happy after reckoning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the person who had been enjoying as he wished all this world and this life. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He will call death on that day of judgment. He'll say, "Oh Allah, finish me, annihilate me." But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "No, you are not going to annihilate you now. You have to live now and taste what you have been doing." Why? إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا كَانَ فِي أَلْهِيبَاسِ He took joyment and enjoyment there in the world. So you see, this is when you ponder over the Quran gives you these teachings and these hints where you can then make judgment about yourself. And otherwise you just have a simple translation. Yes, someone has said read half an hour every day. Very quickly, yes, what he said, yes, there it is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرَانِ That why don't they reflect? Because only after thinking and reflection the Quran opens the meaning of it. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا Or are their hearts have locks on them? They've been locked that nothing is getting in. So lock of the love of dunya, lock of busyness and engagement, etc., etc. So a person should ponder over these things. And human beings' freedom, as they say, everyone wants freedom. Freedom, best freedom is what your nature is. Best freedom, the freedom, real freedom is what your nature is. As someone said, if the eagle says that I am restricted by the skies because I want to swim in the sea, is he restricting his freedom or expanding his freedom? The skies are enough because the nature of the eagle is to fly and say, no, I want freedom. You know, I've never been into the sea. I want to dive in. He will never get out from there. So is he restricting himself in the sky, or the sky is so wide and expansive that it can actually fly wherever it wants? Coming into the water is not his freedom. That's not his freedom. Although people might think like this, but actually then. Or the fish say that I am restricted by the rivers and sea. I want to dance in the wind and in the air and in the sky. I want freedom. What will that freedom give? That freedom will be actually restriction. That freedom will be death. For if the fish wants to dance in the air and the eagle wants to dive in him. So why? Because their nature, eagle's nature is flying, it's fit for that only. If it does otherwise, it will be destroyed. Fish nature is to swim and live in the water. There's vastness of the sea if it wants to live, vastness of the sky if the eagle wants. So the fish nature is swimming, and that's its life. If it wants to come outside in the air like eagle, it will destroy. So have you ever pondered what is your nature? Why, oh human being, what is your nature? You are also one of the living things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ I have created you to serve me only. That's your nature. If like fish and the sea, if you will start serving your own desires or the shaitan or evil, do you do anything, it's the end of life. Meaning it's like the fish has come out in the air, say, I've never been on the air, I like the air, I want to go there. If you'll go, it will become actually the life and its breath and its life actually will end. Similarly, really, a person who goes against his nature, his nature was that Allah says, I have created you to serve and worship, and me, you will find pleasure then in this life and the hereafter. For example, for the eagle there is vastness of the sky, for the sea, for the fish the vastness of the sea. And if the believer really serves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for him the vastness of the barzakh after death, another world opens so vast, and after that another world opens of Jannah which has no limit at all. And if he goes against his nature, he just say, I'm just doing whatever I like, freedom is whatever you like, I like to do this. You are going against your nature where you were born. Then you, like the fish and the eagle, when they do the opposite, which they are not supposed to do, they are destroyed. Similarly, you will destroy your dunya, and akhirah definitely is destroyed. You will be suffocated by in the akhirah. Death will suffocate you and not take you to the heavens or anything like this. So ponder over the creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ponder over the creation. أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ فَوْقَهُمْ صَافَّاتٍ وَيَقْبِضْنَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't you see the birds flying in the air? مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنُ إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ بَصِيرٌ. So have you ever pondered over birds like this? That the bird's freedom is to stay in the air, not to come into the cage of nafs and shaitan, not to come into the sea. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the example of fish as well in the Quran, that its life is water there. But me and you, when if you don't think, then you will just become an entity, a statistic in the book of shaitan, actually, who is one by one he is taking away. So all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Sayyidina Adam to Sayyidina Ibrahim, Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, the Noah alayhi salam, Hazrat Ishaq and Jacob and Yaqub and Joseph and Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, Moses and Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, Jesus Christ and the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, they all thought one thing: we are the servants, we, our nature is to serve, you also people serve. They delivered that message and then went away, all of them. And they are all in enjoyment and pleasure in the hereafter. This is another world which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. This earth is a very, very small, a speck of dust in the universe. It's not even seeable, as I showed you the other day in the presentation. It's so small in solar system compared to the galaxy, compared to other sun, and compared to other galaxies. It's so small, it's insignificant. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you on that speck of dust, so small, have given you the opportunity to become kings over actually the paradise and Jannah in the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyway, we will continue, but there is some things to think for you. Yesterday we were covering the four states of human being and their reactions. That human being is always either in blessings, some kind of blessing, or he might be experiencing problem and calamity, or he might be experiencing, practicing obedience or disobedience. These are the four conditions which you can be. There is no fifth one. There is no fifth one. It's one of these or more of these, meaning one of these three, two, four, at any time you can be in. And we discussed yesterday, and today I will mention as well, if you have right reaction to those, all these things, then they in turn become blessing. For example, if you become thankful in response to a blessing, that becomes a blessing. If you become patient in response to a calamity, that becomes a blessing. If you are doing worship and obedience and more humbleness and humility is coming in you, that's a blessing. If arrogance and self-likeness and you are becoming egocentric and self-centric, then there is a problem. Then there is a problem with your obedience, because you are not doing it right. It is not having the right result. If you press the accelerator of the car and it the brakes get on, and if you press the brake, accelerator goes on, there is a problem. Meaning this is not supposed to do that. This means that you have not, you've been doing it with the wrong intention. And Imam Ahmad ibn Ta'ullah Sikandari rahmahullah, one of the saints and masters of the Shadali Tariqa, if anyone wants to know Shadali Tariqa, he is the first person who wrote book. There are many people who claim today they are following Shadali Tariqa, and they are not, because the books of those mashayikh are other, they are saying something else and they are doing something else. Imam Shadali, Shaykh ibn Ta'ullah Sikandari, for example, I said, you never approved of the Hadra, this standing dance which people do in Syria and Morocco. Even Sayyidina Abdulaziz Dabagh rejected it 300 years ago. He said, this is bid'ah and this is sinful. It resembles the worship of Jewish people. Whatever they are doing, it will be lawful for them in their Sharia. Jewish people at that time, I'm not criticizing them for that. But we are not to resemble anyone's worship. If you have seen them worshipping or reading near the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, you see them standing and bowing down and doing like this. Aren't these Hadra people doing same as well? They are resembling them actually. Nor Imam Abu Hasan Shazli, nor Shaykh Abul Abbas al-Mursi. They were strict adherent to the Sunnah. And Sayyidina Abdulaziz Dabagh, these are some after people, they come up with new things and all these things. Whole point of Imam Shazli's tariqah was to bring people back to the Sunnah of Rasulullah, not actually that going beyond or doing anything extra or anything less. To live in the world according to the teachings of the Prophet Sallallahu, all his tariqah is summarized in two things only. Remember, there is no more to that. All his matrika is summarized in two things. One is to have all the time state of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with intensity and strong intensity, that you feel Allah is with me, watching me, hearing me. This is weakness, this is only a thought in the beginning. But to have, when it covers all your life, when it covers all your life, even you are sleeping with your wife, as Imam Abdul Wahhab Sharani said. He said, my state to the presence of Allah that is in prayer is same when I am sleeping with my wife. Imagine. Such a presence of Allah, such hadur ma Allah, such closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala they have. And our state is, we are in prayer or hadra or dhikr, that we are wandering here and there. That aside, when we are in worldly activities, we are completely lost. We are lost in the prayer, in salah, in itikaf, in namaz. The mosque, itikaf, can four boundaries of walls, you are not getting out. But the mind and heart have no boundary. Many people, they are wandering. Many people are outside, but they are sitting itikaf. And many are sitting itikaf, and they are not really spiritually sitting itikaf. They are wandering outside. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at intentions and the person's inner self and the inner secrets and the very deep thoughts as well of the person. That is how Allah Azawajal treats pretty people, according to their intention. Because once one Rasulullah sallam, when the verses about the ulama says that when the verses of ikhlas, sincerity came, that you should فَدْعَوْ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, that you should be sincere and you should be pure in regard to intention and everything. Rasulullah asked Jibreel alayhi salam, Jibreel, what is ikhlas? Jibreel alayhi salam said, Ya Rasulullah, I, when bringing these verses, it also came in my mind, I also asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is ikhlas? And he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ikhlas is one of my secrets which I only infuse in the hearts of the people who love me. So ikhlas is the inner secret, meaning it's a very, very deep down why you are doing something. Are you pure or are there ulterior motives in them? Actually, and then there, this is one and then the explanation of it further. But actually, we are not going. I was telling you the summary of teaching of Imam Abul Hasan Shazili, rahmahullah. All the Shadaliya Tariqa. And whoever goes beyond that, actually, is no more than Shazili, because their books are witnesses. Their books, own written books of Majmu'e Tawla Sikandri. Similarly, books written by Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani are there, and people are claiming they are Qadri and going doing things against what he has written. They are Naqshbandi and going against what actually is the Naqshbandi. Naqshbandi tariqa even doesn't allow loud zikr. They say do silent zikr. For example, that's their way. That's Azam Jadr. They don't do loud zikr. No majlis of loud zikr. Today Naqshbandi are coming with drums and saying Naqshbandi group and they are drumming. So I'm not saying Daf is wrong or anything, but I'm saying that their tariqa was, or their methodology was, that even loud zikr is not preferable. It's not unlawful, but that's what the way of Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshband and Hazrat Mujaddad al-Faisani. But today they're using their names, and these people, if you ask what is the difference between Naqshbandi and Chishti and Qadri and Shadali, they won't be able to tell you. They are all tariqas of the Tasawwuf. No, what is the difference? Obviously there are different courses. One, two difference in them, they won't be able to. So, just actually, you may say, crowd following will not get you anywhere. So, the summary of the Shadali teachings comes into two things. That I say, one is the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with intensity and all times, and secondly is in entirety, day and night, inwardly and outwardly, following the prophetic sunnah of Rasulullah inwardly, outwardly. That's it. And Imam Shazili rahmahullah himself said, Shaykh Ibn Tala, that whoever have this and then he is waiting for a miracle or he wants something else, he is a deluded person. There is nothing higher than this thing. That when you have hadur ma'allah and ittaba'i sunnat, that is what you are aiming for. That is your aim. And if you look at the Prophet ﷺ, he had these two things. We can't say he followed sunnah. He himself was the sunnah. So he had this, and secondly he had the presence of Allah at high level, ihsan. So that was his personality as well. So you want to become a copy of a watered down version of following the prophetic way, and that's what you see in him as well. So this was actually the teaching of Shaykh. So I was saying in relation to that Shaykh Ibn Tawla Sikandri rahmatullahi said that many people's obedience take them away from Allah, and many people's sin take them closer to Allah from the result point of view. They asked him, how is that? How can obedience take you away from Allah? How can sinfulness take you closer to God? He said that if after a sin, if any is committing a sin, you feel remorse and you feel nidama and shamefulness and you repent sincerely, that takes you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That repentance and forgiveness. And he said that any obedience, any ita'a, any worshipful act, which creates a sense of wonderfulness in you, sense of ujab, sense of self, how wonderful I am, how good things I am doing, etc., etc., and arrogance, then you start seeing others lowly and yourself highly, he said that obedience will take you away from Allah. And he said if you want to see an example, then look at Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and Shaitan. Shaitan's obedience of millions, thousands of years took him away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the result was self-likeness. And Adam alayhi salam's eating forbidden fruit took him more closer to Allah. He became the Khalifa of Allah because of the tawbah and repentance he did on the face of the earth.
So see how clear the teachings of these Mashayikh are, how vivid, how crystal clear they are, and how these false people who are claiming, including myself, I am also considered, who are claiming to be Sufiya and following the Awliya, and they are just taking people in circles round and round and round, not showing them the true path, and doing all sort of these things and getting into their own world and doing weird things. These are not Sufiya, these are Shayateen, who are actually in the form of actually, they are like in the Shayateen in the clothing of Khidr, as the some Mashayikh say. In the Shayateen in the clothing of Hazrat Khidr. There are people like this as well. So that's what Sayyidina Ahmad ibn Ta'ala Sikandari Ahmadullah said. So obedience should result in humbleness and humility. Humility is not denying your strength. Remember, humility is ajzi tawazo, is not denying your strength. I don't know, I have known nothing. That is lie. If you know something and you're saying you know nothing, and you say I am completely sinful, and you know something, there is virtue in you, then you are lying. There is a very fine difference between humility and lying. So don't actually end up lying to be humble, go into another sin. Humility is attributing your strength to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has bestowed them, and admitting your weaknesses, that is humility. Admitting, confessing your weakness and shortcoming, and whatever strength you find in yourself, think that this is a gift of God. He has given you that. It doesn't belong to me. I have beauty, it's God given. I have knowledge, it's God given. I have health, it's God given. That will become shukr then. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you health and you say, no, I am ill all the time. I am being humble. So you are lying and being unthankful. So if Allah subhanahu has given you some goodness from knowledge or wisdom or anything, you say, yeah, whatever you have, and admit your weakness, where weakness, shortcoming come from you. That is humility, ajzi, tawadu. It doesn't mean falsely just negating even the good things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ, that show, manifest the blessings of Allah to others. Mention the blessings Allah has given you. We don't do that, we mention problems only to people. I don't have this, I have no, etc. And if we do mention blessings, we mention it in an arrogant way, to put others down. That is wrong as well. So yeah. So if obedience brings servitude and abdiya and abudiya and tawadu and humbleness, humility, this is the correct response. And if you, the fourth stage is of disobedience, sin. If you respond to sin with the shield of repentance, this will turn the sin into a blessing as well in the result at the end. Because many people, you will say, how can a sin turn into a blessing? You know, someone might say, how can a sin turn into a blessing? Well, that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. وَمَنْ تَابَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَإِنَّهُ يَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَتَابًا إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنْ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَأُولَئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. That if you do true repentance, tawbat al-nasuh, Allah say, I will change your sins into virtues. So how would those sins become a blessing then? They were sin there first, and now this, instead of sin, instead of zina, a reward of a salah is written for you, for them. Instead of drinking alcohol, reward of drinking zamzam have written for you. That's what it means, that is when the sins are changed with virtue. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful for all people who turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who doesn't have their head dumped always in sin and saying, oh, I am sinful, can't get out. No, you get out, Allah will wash away your filth of sin and illuminate you in His light of His glory and His marifah and repentance. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do. So now we just do a summary. Look, blessings, you return response with thankfulness. Obedience, you respond by humbleness. Calamity, you respond by patience. Disobedience, you respond by tawbah. So what happened in the end? The result is, look, the outer circle. Outer circle is all your life become blessing, no matter what experience you are going through life. You are going through difficult path, you are going through sin, you are going through problems, blessing, worship. If you have learned the right response, then all your life is going to come blessing. That, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ, whoever does righteous deeds, مِنْ ذَكَرِنَ أُنْسَى, be it male or female, فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا, I will give him a pure life, that حَيَاةِ طَيِّبًا, a blessingful life. This is the life then, because he has been following these teachings. Now how do they develop in you? Do you go and read the book of Imam Muhammad Ghazali on shukr, and shukr will come in you, or attend any halaqa of knowledge and say, I am studying the text of such and such? When you study the text with the shayukh, be it Ahyal Alum, be it shukr devan come in you, the knowledge of shukr comes in you. Sabr never comes in, no, knowledge of the sabr comes in you. For shukr, thankfulness to come in you, to patience to come in you, it doesn't come with studying and reading and listening, it comes with actually practicing sabr and practicing shukr. Swimming do not come with reading book. You can read the best book on swimming, how good swimmer you can become. Swimming comes with swimming. Driving comes with driving. You can learn, be a best instructor, but if you do not drive, learn driving with driving, driving does not come. You can learn or read the best book on cooking and say to people, yeah, I am going to make you a very fascinating meal today because I've got the best recipe in the world. I've never cooked in my life, but I've got the best book and it has recipes and how to cook. You will know what you cook at the end. So that's the example of those people who are today, I'm visiting this sheikh and this sheikhi and this is a sheikh, I'm going halqa, I'm reading the text of Imam Ghazali, Imam Shadali and this. But never actually those things, realities come in them. Only the knowledge of those things come in them. And they're just happy. Then they're waiting for another. So that's why I say to you that don't keep listening and try to acquire these qualities. And they will come with practicing. How practice? I'll show you next. Look, for example, there are different levels of sincerity. Ikhlas, for example. Ikhlas will not come with reading or writing or listening. It will come when you will practice ikhlas. Ikhlas is like swimming in the ocean of the marifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To reach Allah's closeness. To reach the island, the kingdom of the pleasure of Allah. In that ocean you need to swim. And swimming only comes, you learn with swimming. So in Tariqah Muhammadiyah we teach you many levels of ikhlas. Level 1, level 2, level 3, level 4. Each of them you practice 90 days. How do you sit in a cave practicing 90 days? Or in a mosque? No. You are in business. You are sitting, engaging in social activity. You are with children. You are with family. You are with people. So you are still practicing them. You don't have to seclude yourself. This is not the prophetic way. He alayhi salatu wasalam never said to any sahabi that you go and seclude somewhere in a cave if you want to be real close to Allah. Rather, when Rasulullah once he came out of the cave of Hira, he never went back actually. After Quran revealed, he never went back as such, meaning to sit in the cave. He remained outside in people and showed them, Allah has sent you to live on this world. That was the time. Yes, but now the majlis of awliya, as you were hearing, Brother Ijaz, actually Ahle Diwan, takes place outside the Ghare Hira. Diwan, Qutb, Abdal, these people, majlis, so that's the place. So, ikhlas has many levels, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So, what does it mean? The more higher level of ikhlas you have, the more closeness to Allah you are going to achieve. You see, if you have three levels, then you are here, closeness to Allah, you are higher level. If you are level four of ikhlas, level closeness to Allah, God also increases. Yes, brother. Yes, through the sheets you test the ikhlas. Yeah. I am not going into detail, I am going giving you bird eye view. For anyone who want the tarbiyah, want to learn, that's why I encourage you every day to sit in the halqa and start, inshallah, the journey, and you will know yourself. Testing is very easy here, which level you are. I'm going to mention to you. So that is why I say, if there is any question remaining after I finish, then you ask, inshallah. Maybe I will answer it without you asking. So level 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, if you go higher and higher, the higher level of closeness of Allah. So levels of sincerity, that's how you check, now your answers start coming. That's how you know where you are. So level 1 of sincerity is, for example, in all major good deeds, for example, 5 prayers, dhikr, whatever charity you are giving, etc., etc., one should check and refresh their intention in the beginning, middle and end, that they are doing this to seek reward in the akhirah, not fame and name in the world. Because if you want fame and name in the world, then you corrupted your intention. So this is level 1. Level 2 is that when you are performing your good deeds, they should not be done for your feelings, but only for the pleasure of Allah. One should not follow their feelings, meaning I'm feeling like doing good thing, I'll do good. Today I'm not feeling like doing, I'll do bad. This means you are a servant of feeling. You are not Abdullah, you are Abdul feeling. Abdullah means the servant of Allah who always worships Allah. And this person, when feeling is there, he worships. When he feeling good, he is not. So the time when you are not feeling good and you are worshipping, that is the time when you are getting more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The time when you are not enjoying your worship and you are still worshipping, that is the time when you are getting more closer to Allah than actually if you were enjoying. Because Al-Shaykh ibn Tawla Sikandari rahmahullah said that then there is no share of the nafs in there, because the pleasure is the share of the nafs. So if you find enjoyment and pleasure in it, there is a share of nafs as well in there. And if there is total no enjoyment, total meaning blankness and only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that's a higher level of ikhlas you have. Then there is level 3, that you, when you are doing your amal, it should be done for the pleasure of Allah. Don't give even Jannah your the paradise preference. Yes, you can do amal for Jannah, but don't give it preference. Firstly, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then actually, secondary is Jannah. I give example from the examples of the mashayikh. They say, how can we, even Anbiya alayhi wasalam, ask for Jannah? Only Allah says to ask for Jannah, and you are saying that don't worship for Jannah. So we say to them, to explain to them, let's say you are meeting a person who is your beloved, you have fallen in love with them, and you are very, very restless to meet them. And they said, we are going to meet you in a, for example, garden, in Oxford Garden, for example. Oxford Garden, we are going to meet you. It is very beautiful garden scenery, like this Hailcroft Park, which we are doing. It is a world-winning park. It has all amenities and things, and it's very beautiful. So it's a garden or a park. Your beloved has said that you are going to meet me there. So you are going to meet your beloved, and you ask the taxi driver, I want to go to Oxford Park. Oxford Park is very beautiful, people go to see. He says, you don't want to tell him why you are going. You tell, I'm going to Oxford Park, and simple as that, you are going to Oxford Park. But why really you are going? You are not going for the park, but because you are the person who you are meeting has said, I will be in the middle of the park. That's why you are saying. So when Anbiya alayhi salam asked for Jannah, they asked for Jannah, like you ask the taxi driver for the park or the garden or the Jannah. Jannah also means garden in English. Anbiya and awliya ask because the meeting with their beloved Allah and the beauty of Allah will be seen only in Jannah. So they ask for Jannah. And me and you, as example, like other people, I like to see trees, I like to see river, the flowers in the park. He will also, this person will also say to the taxi driver, I want to go to Oxford Park. But he is not going to, for anyone else's sake, he is just going for the sightseeing. So first level of ikhlas, meaning lower level, is that you want to for Jannah, pleasure, hoos and qusur and palaces and things, you are going there for asking Allah to send you there for this reason. This is also good. This is also ikhlas. But it's a lower level. Higher level is when you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take me in Jannah so I can meet you, I can see you there. So this is the third level, ikhlas actually. Then there is fourth level. When doing your amals, do it for Allah because He is Allah. Do it for who Allah is. Not that what Allah gives you. Not even His pleasure or closeness or high spiritual ranking. Because in that still there is some want left. Perform them purely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you only worship Allah because He deserves to be worshipped. It's his right to be worshipped. La ilaha illallah. His right to be worshipped. He deserves to be worshipped. Not because actually that you want something or anything like this. Because He is Allah. Worshipping Allah for who He is, not what He can give you. That is higher level of ikhlas even. And then there is the fifth level. We won't go in detail that. Then there is sixth level. Then there is seventh level. And that's how you check yourself, as the brother were asking. That when we give you level 1, it will be written like this, and for 90 days continuously you will practice. And how you will know? When you put a cross, you will know that you are not on that level. Or you start a level which you are not able to do at all, this means that you are not at that level. Go to the lower level. So we always start people in the journey from level 1. Slowly, 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 they don't have to leave their business, work, family, anything, but their ikhlas level keeps increasing in their daily lives. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, as I said, the higher level, ikhlas, the higher closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, there is levels of tawadu and humbleness. So we, in Tariqah Muhammad, we don't say become humble, humbleness is good thing. Humility, have my humility. Humility is good thing. But everyone knows that. That's not actually the humbleness or humility is not going to come like this. Similarly, there are levels and a practice how you bring those qualities in you. As I said, the many people who have interest in tazkiyah and ihsan and tasawwuf, they are also only teaching the knowledge of ihsan, knowledge of tazkiyah. They are not teaching you. They are not bringing or creating these qualities in you, but only transferring the knowledge of these things. And you think Shaykh has done a very good lecture on ikhlas, but has it one bit of ikhlas come in me? No. Then what's the use of lecture? That person was selling very precious drink, very good quality of orange juice, very good. But what about you? I am suffering from vitamin C, I didn't get a sip. Well, what is that that seminar or that, what is that is good for you? That's what's happening with today. One is people who don't believe in tazkiyah, they are saying we are doing all right ourselves. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about those who love awliya, who love sufiya, who claim to be sufiya, who claim to follow them, who claim to lead to them. There, many of them are also doing these things as well. Having a halqa of dhikr, giving nasiha, or most teaching a text, and that's it. And people are suffering. When they go home, shaitan gives them hard time. When they go on the street, shaitan gives them hard time. The shaykh is sitting there, and now they don't have anything to fight with. They don't have anything to judge with. They don't have anything to play with, how they can bring these qualities in themselves. But the two mashayikh like Sayyidina Abdulaziz Dabbagh and Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani, they taught like this. They tried to build qualities. That's why Shaykh Abul Abbas al-Mursi and Shaykh Abul Hasan Shazli didn't write any book. If the tasawwuf will come through book, he would have been the first person to write a book on the tasawwuf. The founder of Silsila of Imam Abul Hasan al-Shazli. So he is not writing a book, he is also a message that through text and books and reading and studying, these qualities will not come in a person. It will come with tarbiyah from one person to the other. Books are also only supportive. Similarly, Shaykh Abu al-Abbas al-Mursi, rahimahullah, he did not write any book as well, giving a message that this is not actually. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not write a book himself. Only other people listened to his malfuzat, that's called hadith. The awliyaullah sayings are called malfuzat, like Sayyidina Abdulaziz Dabbagh didn't write a book. But his book is there, who his disciples noted down. Shaykh Abul Abbas al-Mursi didn't. So Rasulullah sallam didn't write. Quran is the book of Allah, the Prophet even did not write with his own hand. He, before the announcement of prophethood, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not able to write. After announcing prophethood, after 40 years, as a miracle, he knew to read and write, but not before that. But still he didn't write as such. Only Quran is the book of Allah, hadith is his saying, where is the book written by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So through that he is giving a lesson that just with reading, writing, only things are not going to change. That some people now are obsessed and they are attending halqas and sessions and seminars and sohbas and companionships and rehlas one after the other. And they, like the donkey which is going around the well, actually, you know, still there actually. They are wandering around the nafs actually. All they have is few text and few CDs and DVDs and few internet and just one or two ijaza maybe name. Today people are getting ijaza, you are my khalifa. Now he doesn't know what he is giving, and the receiver doesn't know what he has received spiritually. And etc. So try to understand that this closeness of Allah, these qualities on the third stage, which they are treated like tawadu and humbleness, they will come with action, with training. How? Similarly, there are levels of humbleness. This level of tawadu, to think and believe the other Muslims are better than you and not to consider them lowly because you have not died. You have not died yet. On your how you die, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make a decision, judgment upon you according to the state you died in. And you don't know what that state is going. So how can you say, I am better than the other? Because the other might actually die in a good state, and you might die in a bad state. So that's why it is foolishness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, Maliki yawmiddin, I am the owner of judgment and judgment day. How dare you issue judgment against on yourself that you are pious and you are righteous and you are blessed and things. How can you? So no one should issue judgment against themselves or against any other person because they don't know their end. Only it's a race. When the people are running a race, they don't, it's a 10 mile race and after in 1 mile one is leading and he thinks, yeah, I am in the front, I am the winner. Well, very this thought is foolishness, because in the next mile the others might go further and he might fall, he might have an accident, he might have a heart attack, he doesn't know. It's foolishness to be happy. Let it finish. You have done an exam, 50 people are sitting taking exam and you say, yeah, I am the first, I have the A grade, I won, I have the highest grade. When you are in exam, it's not the right time to boast between yourselves and the students, because the results will come after the examiner have checked and given the grade. So humbleness in the first level, we mean that everyone is in the race. Death is the finishing banner. Death is the finishing banner where the race finishes. At that time, you can have a good opinion of yourself if you die with iman. And you see Angel Israel saying to you, Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutma'inna. At that time, you should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you have made it and you are one of the luckiest person. Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, he said the person should not be feel secure, safe until even my one foot is in Jannah and one foot is out, I still don't feel secure. Because the promise to protection is in Jannah. Because on the Day of Judgment many things are going to happen as well. So then there is a level 2. We can't go in detail. As I said, it is just giving you idea. Level 3, humbleness. Level 4, level 5. Maybe next day at the coffee might go in detail. Level 6, level 7, level 8, level 9, level 10. 10 levels of humbleness, tawadu. And then you practice this for 90 days each. Then tawadu and humbleness come in you. Not by just reading a text or listening to a lecture on humbleness and humility. But the good thing about that is you don't have to invest time in this. It's just a matter of accountability. As you take the course, you get on with your whatever, you are driving a taxi, you are running a company, you are just actually living in the house. There used to be housewives, now they are house husbands as well. Whatever you are, still you are getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no negation for anyone, no deprivation for anyone, whatever. So these are these few qualities which I mentioned. Remember the four, the states, responses to them. So each response is embedded and person is trained in that. So this is the example of your nafs and heart, which can, that it is, it can either possess the beautiful attribute it has or the evil ones. It has potential for both. So initially, if it is, these are the good ones, like trusting Allah, fear of Allah, contentment, firmness, truthfulness, shukr, and love, and patience, and all these. And then there are bad ones, bad traits. We'll not go in detail, just mention to you. Greed, coveting desire, uncontrollable anger, stinginess, pride, and hypocrisy, and all these things. Now they have definitions and things, but for that we need, inshallah, more time, inshallah. Just to give me a bird's eye view. So this is the state of the heart and soul when it is possessed by the evil qualities. You see, that's how, like germs, like actually these diseases, viruses of cancer and others and AIDS, that's how these diseases are more harmful than them. Cancer will take your life, hasad will take your iman. AIDS will take your life of this world, but arrogance disease will take your life of next world. So they are much more serious. One only harms you 60 years and one harms you for millions of years. Which is the worst one? So if you look at the screen, that's how these diseases exist.
And here it's been projected, meaning these disease here it is shown in a larger scale, in a larger image, that here is the, for example, hasad, jealousy, but it will have many, many small other sins will be borne by one trait of this. Like the cancerous cells, they give existence to, you see how people, I have a lung cancer, and they take out his lung, and the cancer spread in the kidney. Meaning it spread from one place to the other, Even though you are doing so much purification, the doctor does so much purification, they take the organ out. And still, it's hard to, actually, but we are saying to you, you don't have to take your heart out or anything. You just zikr and tazkiya, they do actually your purification. So, let's say this is one jealousy or hatred, one sin. But it will give birth to many, many small sins and small bad habits. For example, person have a hasad, because of that hasad, he might harm the other person's reputation. This is like another sin born of hasad. He might scratch his car if he cannot destroy it. For example, he doesn't like it. He can't see, he can't stand his car. So I might as well scratch it at least. People do foolish things like this, throwing, you know, things on houses and other things, and but they are being born out of the one trait, you see. Hasad, it will lead you to many, many other diseases. So although they are one, but they give birth, they are mother. So some of them are ummul amraz. They are mothers of actually other diseases. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi said, Hubb ad-dunya ra's kull khatiya. The love of world is the essence, is the mother of all other sins. Love of actually the world, love of dunya gives birth to so many other sins. It's like a mother. It will give birth. So these are like evil traits, like people see aliens, they are there and they are giving birth to other aliens. They are self-reproducing. So, in your heart. Because they are more dangerous, because they will take you to hell. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever have one atom's weight of arrogance and kibar in him, he will not enter Jannah. Until he will go in hell, and the hell will actually, like you have guns to purify gold and other things with a lot of heat. So the heat of hell will be given to their heart until that effect is gone, and then a person will be sent. But here it's very easy to take it out. So here you see the soul darkened due to being engrossed in evil desires and has been overtaken by evil traits. This is nafs-e-ummara. It's very weak due to the lack of good practices as prayer, zikr, etc. This represents the houses which the evil traits inhabit and is firmly rooted to the ground. It is surrounded by its troops to protect it from any foreigners, i.e. goodness. For example, this could be inhabited by hypocrisy, for example. So these things, meaning they don't let goodness come. Because many, many barriers, people say, oh, I can't leave this. So these are barriers they are creating around themselves to achieve goodness. And where are they coming from? These evil traits. So what is the solution? Do we do operation, heart transplant, or anything? You can't do. Even heart transplant is done, the spiritual heart still remains the same. You can physical heart, you can put one heart to the other person. But the spiritual entity which Allah SWT created is still going to remain there. It will come into the next heart. Your spiritual entity will come into the next heart. It will live in there. It is like the soul, body will change, but the soul will be the same. So, yeah. So how we do it? In Tariqah Muhammadiyah, it is done. Can you see? These four white balls, four white cylindrical balls,
These are the four good traits which we showed you in the circle example, that the four responses, that you respond affliction with patience, blessing with thankfulness, ibadah with humility and ikhlas, and sin with tawbah. So these four, when they are developed level by level, 1, 2, 3, 4 levels in the four sheets, these come in you. So these are at the first level now, you see. That's why they are small, they are round, they are first, they are weak. Ikhlas is weak, tawadu is weak, shukr is weak, sabr is weak. In spite of they being weak, still they have disintegrated the many of the evils there, you see. It has broken down the big evil house into small ones, small circles. So evil troops are closely packed and have strength in numbers to fight back the goodness which is trying to prevail. Troops of good traits are present in small numbers at the beginning when a person tries to become pious and do good deeds. He does manage to fight few of the evil troops back and strengthen himself. So they are only four. But the good thing is that like the evil bad qualities give birth to many other bad qualities, the good qualities, these four good qualities give birth to other tens and hundreds of good qualities. Because a person who will have shukr, how many goodness things is going? He is going to be thankful to Allah, thankful to people, thankful to others, and he will have the attitude is going to, how many other good things are going to come out. If he is patient, how many goodness this is coming. So when a person have started these sheets, it's as though they have put one quality, one white ball there. That white ball is the white cells in the body, which they, and the other cells which they fight each other to get out the diseased cells or disease germ. So in body as well, these germs and all these disease and these viruses come, and the good viruses fight them, or the good germs fight them and take them out. What is medicine? Medicine never cures you. Medicine only equips the good army, the healthy germs or the healthy troops in the body. The medicine only feeds them, so they fight more and you quickly get cured. While actually the cure does not come from medicine as such. But that's the dangerous thing. The AIDS, what's happened with AIDS is that AIDS cell, they come as the white ball. So the good troops can't even recognize that this is enemy or this is friend. So that's why the person who has AIDS, he doesn't become cured. Because the viruses or the good troops, the good cells or whatever you can call them, attacking them, they can't recognize this is enemy. So all the research of AIDS is being done is to somehow that these poor good troops, white or these cells, good troops, they can recognize somehow that this is enemy. This is like spies which are coming in friends' clothing. So the point, if they can recognize them, they will be able to destroy them. You see how a war is going on a physical, a micro level, and this is spiritual war, somewhat at least similar, have parallels to it as well. And then what happens is that you see these goodness, these good traits, they start to increase. One gives birth to the other. Evil troops slowly start to split due to the presence of good troops. They are much more weaker. So the arrows represent the effect of the good traits. So they are breaking them. They are breaking the big ones, the hasad, the kibar. They are breaking them and they are coming more and more. Similarly, in the next one you see, you see a new thing, that they have become the stronghold now. The sabr have reached the high level now. The shukr has reached the higher level now. Look at the screen. You see the difference. Now, equal to these evil traits, you see now they have become strongholds as well. Slowly, as the land of the soul is recaptured and the area of goodness increased, the good traits, they start to build their houses and their fortresses, or take over the houses of the evil traits, and firmly establish themselves in that place. So they take the ground, they take the fortresses. So now the good ones are say, okay, Sabar says, I am level 7 now. Shukar says, I am level 8 now. I see what stands in my way. Oh, there they go, other level. That's how it is. But you have to actually build that actually and make it strong. So that becomes a stronghold. It is your soul. And Shaitan has captured your land of your soul. You should recapture it back. It's yours. So get yours, reclaim your soul back from Shaitan. He has no authority to keep your soul in his possession. You have the authority, so reclaim it back, bring it under the possession of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet, in obedience I mean, although everything belongs to Allah azza wa jal. So now the sabr and shukr are becoming stronger and stronger, and the evil traits are going further and further. So slowly, see what happens. The defense of the evil troops weakening day by day, they lose more. The land of the good troops, of the good traits are reducing. So reducing in number, the bad traits and the good traits are coming more and more. So sabr, shukr, tawadu, and humbleness, zuhud, qanaa. That's how tazkiyah is. This is purification happening. You are repossessing your country of heart and soul, which is the center of war, and battlefield of shaitan and nafs. You are trying to reclaim it back. So half purified. Now it has become, for example, nafse mulhima from nafse umara. But people are lost in terminology. Nafse umara, mulhima, mutmainna, and then the radiya, then the mardiya, then the kamila. Only names they know, no realities are there. I say don't learn, know any name, just attain the reality. Doesn't matter. Lost in names and terminologies and bereft of realities. So phase 5 is like this, and phase 6, then actually the last of the evil traits, one or two bad traits remain toward the end. Like some people are very stubborn in hating, some are stubborn in love of dunya, some are stubborn in anger, something leaves last as well. So then, alhamdulillah, the soul is purified, it illuminates actually with the good traits, all the good traits. Allah loves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is the heart which I love. Yawma la yanfa'u malum wa banoon. The day when no wealth and no sons, no family, no people will benefit you. Illa man atallahu bi qalbin saleem. But only who came with a sound heart. This is the sound heart, which has sound qualities, which has the good qualities. And these qualities are the remnants of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this world. They are the his inheritance. Prophet ﷺ said, I have not left wealth or anything. Anbiya don't. Anbiya leave piety, righteousness, these good traits and knowledge and these things. So complete repossession of the land of the soul by the good traits, from the evil traits the soul starts. So that's why I say up to this is the third level of purification, which is wajib upon everyone to do. They follow tariqah or not. Tariqah comes after. This is sharia. Firstly, come according to the sharia. Tariqah to baad mein shuru hoga. But people are on the fall, in the past pretense, they are on the tariqah flying somewhere in the seventh heaven, and they are actually roaming around in the devilish lands really. As someone said, so this is the level 8. So what happens is at the level 8, that the look at here now. Firstly, it only had good qualities. Now we've said that is a shield. Where does this shield come from? That good troops surrounding the surface of the soul to fight off any evil that leaks through the protective shield. Evil troops looking to find way back. So Shaitan is trying to send waswasa and some things back to there to attacking. He never actually retreats fully. Shaitan is always hopeful that I might get him sooner or later. So evil leaking through, but it is repelled by the good truths. You see, they are guarding now. They are hadur ma'allah. They are the sunnah of Rasulullah and the presence of Allah are guarding them. Why? Because you have attained in the purification of the mind. Remember, in the purification of the mind, you attained a connection with Allah and His Messenger. So that shield, now your soul wears that shield. So the mind which you attain through mind purification, that shield now protects your heart and soul. It goes around it so that there is less chances to be repossessed again or attacked again. So protective shield to protect it from all the evil. This has been developed initially in purification of mind. So now you just put an extra layer on it so that alhamdulillah you are saved then. So we leave up to here and we start the next is the illumination stage, which is the fourth stage, which is the tariqah really. That's from where the tariqah and starts from, and the tariqah really, spiritual tariqah, illumination, when you get enlightenment, such closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you are, you become a person of akhirah, a high ranking wali, a person enters their circle. So that's, but up to here, every Muslim, it is wajib upon them to achieve this thing. If they do bad or not, it doesn't matter. But it's the thing that they to achieve is necessary for them. Yes, now you may ask anything, any question you want to ask, mashallah, regarding this.
Once again, Mr. Bhimani, please try to ask questions related to today what you said. Raise your hand if you want to ask. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Hazrat Sahib, one of the things I notice, which is a common theme in what we've been discussing, and that is love of dunya, as you mentioned, is mother of all other sins. For a typical person, normal person like me, when we mention the word dunya, the first thing that comes to mind is money and wealth. And as a businessman, the motivator behind me trying to do my business and increase my business is money and wealth. So how do we deal with that Islamically? Is it right or wrong that, you know, I'm a property man, I have one property, I increase that to two, I have one shop, I increase that to two. How do we Islamically deal with that in doing our businesses and, as I say, having that desire which is for money and wealth and increasing that?
Exactly. Okay. Yes, that is a misconception which I think we have covered in the beginning days as well. We went through it to some extent, but I'll say again, dunya, a love of dunya does not mean as such as you say money or anything like this as such. When you are like I will say in the words of Imam Ahmad ibn Taala Sikandari, he said that when you are this is money, for example, here this is dunya, this is akhirah. When I am pursuing dunya or money, whatever it is, only for the sake of the dunya, then actually it is dunya, then it takes you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you are seeking and earning to make your akhirah better, for akhirah, to please Allah, because Allah has given rights to you, your parents, your children and other Muslims, and you want to earn so you can spend in the way of Allah, have comfort in the world so that you may enjoy the lawful things in the world, that dunya becomes akhirah as well. So that dunya, if it is Imam Ibn Taala Sikandari rahmatullahi said that the dunya which is pursued for akhirah, that doesn't remain dunya, it becomes akhirah. Dunya is like zero and akhirah is like one. Zero plus one, the zero becomes one as well. and dunya is zero, you are doing it for the sake of dunya, then it will become zero. So if you use it as a stepping stone, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has charged you to earn. Like Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq was a big businessman. Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah was a big businessman. But when you will determine it is harmful, you have love of it, extreme love or not, is that when the matters of halal and haram will come, that will show you that where you are. So lawful dunya takes you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the person attains even more nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, earning their much righteousness. Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala he died as a shaheed, but he said, either I die in the way of Allah, or I wish to die while earning livelihood for my children, doing business in the marketplace. So Umar said, this is my wish to die as well. Either I die as a shaheed, if not die as a doing business in the marketplace, because he meant doing business actually to achieve the pleasure of Allah. So that becomes akhirah as well. So if you are doing it for that reason, like in Rasulullah says sometime, I'll just explain to you more, you will be more clear on this. Someone was going on work in the morning, Sahaba were sitting in Masjid Nabawi, someone went up and they thought that this person is hastening towards money, earning money. And they were sitting there, and that he is not sitting in the company of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Look, he is going work, he might have sat with us. And they said, we wish his all this running was for Akhirah and for Allah. Rasulullah SAW corrected them immediately. Prophet SAW said, if he is going to earn money so that he don't have to beg someone else to fulfill his rights, فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, he is in the way of Allah. And if he is going to earn money so that he can fulfill the rights of his relatives and things and which he has upon him, فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, then he is also in this way of Allah. And if he is going to earn money to boast others over others, to boast over others that I have this car, I have this thing, فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ الشَّيْطَانِ, he is in the devil's way there. So that is the line there actually. You can become, there were kings who were Anbiya alayhi salam, Anbiya, they were kings, they were awliya Allah who were kings as well. But the dunya, as I said, that don't enter their heart remains with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the money, millions remain there, their share comes to them. So this, and so a person should correct basically his intention and make it lawful. Intention and also having lawful, that takes you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. As we can see the example of Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani, he was a millionaire person in the last years of his life, earthly life. It's a very famous story that a person, a postman came whilst he was sitting there in his zaviya, and he gave him a letter. He said, Sayyidi, that your millions or thousands and hundreds and thousands of wealth was on the ship, and it's drowned now actually. The news has come, it's drowned. If we were in their place, what will happen? The person who have love of dunya, usko the heart attack ho jayega. There you are. And many people did, who didn't have heart attack, they killed themselves. That's everyone. In the recent economic downturn, some died with heart attack, and who didn't have, they killed themselves. He closed his eyes for a short while and then said, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. People were sitting, they were surprised. That person went away as well. In the same majlis, later on the day, the same person came and said, that was not the correct news, it was someone else's ship, not your ship, who have would drown. He again closed his eyes and said, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Then there were some scholars, some other mashayikh there as well. The disciples would not ask him out of respect, because their ahwal of the mashayikh, their own amal, their own asgar, their muraqabat, it's considered disrespectful to ask about the ahwal of the mashayikh, actually, because it's their personal thing. So, one of the other scholars, mashayikh were there, he said that Sayyidi, that we have heard from the Prophet ﷺ that when you hear any news of loss, you say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And any goodness, Alhamdulillahi bi ni'matihi tatimmu salihat. But you have said Alhamdulillah and you close your eyes. Why is that? Is that not sunnah which what we have heard? Or is it something which we do not know? Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah said, for example, he explained to him, what you are saying is right, but that is to the loss of wealth or attaining the wealth, what you said. But what I did was not in response to that at all. He said that when the news of loss came, I thought it's the good and the best time to check how good state of ihsan, the presence of Allah, the attachment with Allah my heart have. This is the best time to check. Because normally everyone say, I am very close to Allah, I am fine, Alhamdulillah, I have this. But it's a time of test, anger, poverty, when some extreme situation happened. So he said, this was an extreme situation which I did not bring, but actually it came. So I pondered over the heart, and I found the heart not a hair breadth actually difference in the presence of Allah. And I thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that state of presence of Allah. Hadur ma'ala, my heart is still attached to Allah in the same degree. It was not affected by the loss whatsoever. And he says, similarly, second thing, when the news of Prophet came, similarly I said, this is a good time to check that heart being so, is it so happy? We are attaining the benefit of the dunya, that it has come somewhat detached or affected by the Prophet and from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, again I pondered, it didn't, so I did Alhamdulillah on that. And the otherwise, what you have said is sunnah, that's what one should do. So imagine, that's why they say the states of mashayikh and ahwal, they sometimes look opposite to the person looking, but they are different. Only he asked and he mentioned, otherwise no one would have known what he has done, what he has said. تو یہ ہے تو آپ انشاءاللہ اس کی فکر نہ کریں وہ آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا میں آئی این آنےسٹ بزنس مین ول بی لائک دس آن دا ڈے آف ججمنٹ سو کلوز ٹو گیدر دو فنگر آپ نے بتایا میں اگر امین تاجر اور میں قیامت والے دن وہ انبیاء و صدیقین کے ساتھ ہوگا بہت بڑا درجہ ہے تاجروں کے لیے وہ اگر وہ صحیح کر لیں
And basically I want to ask a question. So going back to yesterday, I wanted to ask a question, but it was short of time. If you allow me to ask a question, I do understand it basically on today. If you allow me to ask a question, then I can proceed. Thank you.
Yes, please do.
Thank you. Basically, the question was asked, I'm talking about two prophets. How is it possible for two prophets to come at the same time? That's Isa alayhi salam and Yahya alayhi salam. Could you give me a bit more details there, please?
Brother is asking that we mentioned about two prophets yesterday, Sayyidina Isa and Sayyidina Yahya alayhi salam, that they are both the same time. This is... why this looks strange to us, our people, is because they are born at the prophethood of Rasulullah ﷺ, and he is prophet for the entire creation. So it looks strange that how previously the two were coming. And I said to someone that there have been times when 200 prophets exist, because their prophets went to every city in ancient time. There were no like aeroplanes and such technology that the message will reach them, different parts of the earth. Prophets will go to visit. In Surah Yasin, for example, it means وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ أَصْحَابَ الْقَرْيَةِ إِجَّاهَ الْمُرْسَلُونَ. Give them the example of the village when Allah I sent messenger there. إِجَّاهَ الْمُرْسَلُونَ. And he mentioned, he sent one, then he sent two. Similarly, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam looked living at the same time over all of these. And also Hazrat Ibrahim, Ishaq, Yaqub, Hazrat Yaqub and Hazrat Yusuf living at the same time. So previously, in previous ummahs it has been that actually there were 3, 5, 7, 10, even 12, up to 200 prophets at any one time. Even actually. So it is only because our Prophet Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last and is for entire creation. So that is why now actually it's not the like, but previously at any one time different prophets and Anbiya alayhi salam they would come. In Hazrat Musa alayhi salam time as well, Hazrat Yusha bin Nun, also a prophet. In Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam time, Hazrat Lut alayhi salam lived at his time. He's come the Quran, they are in the both same time. Hazrat Shu'ab and Hazrat Musa alayhi salam also saw Hazrat Shu'ab, he was also a prophet of Allah. And Hazrat Musa alayhi salam was a prophet of Allah. Hazrat Yusha bin Nun was a prophet of Allah. And many, many others actually. Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and his son Hazrat Shiz, both were Anbiya alayhi salam. So they came. But what is right, what you are asking is that at any one time there is only one messenger. One messenger. Your Sharia is applicable of one messenger only. So all the prophets came in Bani Israel, either they were following Musa alayhi salam Torah, prophets were following Torah. That's why the messenger is sent one at one time. So the messengers amongst the 100,000 Anbiya alayhi salam are only about 300 or more or less actually. So they came at one time, one messenger at any one time. But prophets, they can come 10, 20, 30, 40. But they follow the same messenger at the time. Jazakullah.
Question regarding someone who's given bayah to another bee or is another tariq, if they wish to leave, do they have to ask for permission? And if they don't get permission, are they allowed to leave? What's the etiquette? So what's the sharia requirement of tariq?
If someone has then given bayah to someone, bayah is of different kind. One is bayah of barakah, you can do 100 bayahs like this. That's how normally people have done. Very rarely they do bayah or allegiance of tarbiyah, which means that from A to Z, oh teacher, I come to you, give me a contract, you will take me to A, which is sinful state, B, which is, for example, the pleasure of Allah, and I commit myself, I follow you through. This is bayah tarbiyah. This is one bayah which one can do at one time. Other is people like this sheikh is here, yeah, I want blessing, please actually give me bayah as well. This is called bayah baraka. Really, not much long-lasting benefit, just a temporal thing. Similarly, have ijaza, baraka as well, tabarruk. They say, I have ijaza from sheikh, flan sheikh, this sheikh, this sheikh. It's only for baraka and blessing. There's not really, they've never done the suluk or anything as such. And I am the khalifa, I am the researcher. For blessing power only. So he can only give you blessing, dua for you, no tarbiyah, nothing in that dua. So if a person have done bayah of blessing that he's a pious man, and then he doesn't need to do anything, he can actually just go to wherever, because you can do many bayah of barakat there, his blessing. Bayah of tawbah, repentance, bayah of tawbah, that can be done several people at any one in one time. Bayat-e Tarbiyah is the one which I said who you follow a purification course through. But if the teacher, after you've done Bayat-e Tarbiyah, he doesn't have any form of course, he doesn't have any form of suluk, or you think you are not benefiting year after year, month after month, or that person have gone astray, he is not following his sunnah himself, for example. He is missing prayers, he is not following sunnah, necessary sunnahs even, or is just actually making money through unlawful means and things. Then the etiquettes are silently leave the person. If he is the false one, how will he let you up, which was sin. Give me permission. He said, no, stay because you are my income. You are his business. So the etiquette says this silently, don't disrespect him or anything whatsoever, but silently just stop going and inshallah find somewhere else. So that is why in our tariqah, Mishai said that don't jump into bed or it is done. Only after a person have done first stage, second stage he is, and then he wishes he can do. If not, it is sufficient for him. Bay is not something necessary or wajib. This is wajib actually to have tazkiyah done. But one can do for barakah and blessings and things over here. So real responsibility starts after bay. Bay is like a spiritual marriage. People think when I've done bay, I've had everything, now finished matter. Now I am wali, purified, alhamdulillah, I am. This is actually falsehood idea. Bay'ah is a spiritual marriage. If someone thinks nikah is just actually performing, marriage means performing nikah, nikah you have performed in the mosque and finished. After there, no husband and wife meeting, no responsibility, no earning responsibility, anything. Or if you put now, gentlemen, you have to earn, bring money for nafis and bring money for eating and paying. See, I never knew this meant actually this. Nikah meant this. Well, that's where responsibility comes with it actually. So some people think bay'ah is like a sweet as well, or something like a gulab jamun or something like anything. So after they have done bay'ah and then they ask, you have to do now, you have committed to do purification, you have to leave sin. And I never knew it. They think on doing bay'ah the matter ends, and really the matter begins from the bay'ah. The hardship begins from the bay'ah. Yeah, so have a very clear idea and don't actually get into such things if you are not sure, just of the pressurizing or people praising someone, sheikh, that doesn't matter. If 100,000 people praise, he is very big sheikh and you hear this miracle and thing, he might be nothing as such, no, you might not benefit from him. So you look from your own perspective, he's following sunnah, sharia, go in his company, stay with him 10, 20, 40 days, after 6 months, 1 year, and then if you think it's right for you, then actually go. Not on the recommendation and praise of others, because disciples of everyone, they always praise their own teacher and shuyukh for in exaggerating way. Meaning they will be saying truth and some things which are not truth as well, actually. So one should not go on that basis. On this basis actually, that a person, first thing you need to ask him, have you got the path to Allah? And if he says, you come, you do good things, you do my prayer, do zikr, you'll become pious, then no, he doesn't know anything about the path for sunnah. Because the path to Allah he should have very clearly, yes, my brother, you have come, these are the conditions, that's what you have to do, this will be the journey, that's how long it can take, it's up to you, this is exercise I will be giving you, that's what, when you reach Allah, that's what will happen and what you will happen, etc, etc. He should have some kind of syllabus or quote. So Naqshbandi is the name of a syllabus, Qadriya is name of a syllabus, and Chishti is name of syllabus. And what type of these people, masters are, who say we are Naqshbandi but don't have any syllabus of Naqshbandi? Chishtiya, they don't have syllabus of Chishtiya. They say we have not heard about that. Maybe thought it's only doing dhikr and things, and you know, you will reach, you will get goodness, etc. So not like this, inshallah.
Allah Akbar, astaghfirullah al-azim.
If he is truly following Naqshbandiya, he doesn't need anything. But if he is, I am saying, as I, you are under false pretense that you are following Naqshbandiya, and it is not really truly Naqshbandiya, because these old courses are full-fledged courses. They give you everything. And if you are, see, I am coming as in a Chishtiya or Naqshbandiya, and they have not even done your first stage, second stage, not taught you Akida or Fiqh or seven organs, that means you are on the wrong place anyway. They don't have Naqshbandiya as well. It's only name they are using as in Naqshbandiya. They put a name of a mosque, in a shop selling tomatoes. That doesn't make it mosque, because the mosque you guys should have actually presence of Allah, or there's a member, there is actually, there will be pulpit, there will be mihrab, there are signs there of the mosque. Similarly, all tariqas, these three stages which we have mentioned are common amongst all tariqas. Only the fourth one, when they reach, then their roots different a little bit. Naqshbandiya goes somewhere else, Chishtiya and Sohrabardiya, etc. They have little bit of variance, not much. But the first three, and if you are attending only a zikr gathering and moving here and there and weekly, and that's all what you get, and no course, nothing, then that's not Naqshbandiya. That's the majlis of zikr. You have attended a good gathering, good for you, but it won't take you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
I want to ask you this about those like myself and some other things we were discussing. We've come on the letter of the path and we've been doing the course maybe over a period of a year, 2 years, sometimes maybe more, give and take. But we're finding that we're not really progressing. We are trying to do the zikr and the atmas and kind of follow the course materials. But we still find that we're not really developing some of the things we were discussing one or 2 days ago, that we're just lacking the path. Over the year, we haven't really progressed within ourselves. We don't think we've really developed. So I think maybe it's that steadfastness and things like that. So maybe could you give us some advice or some kind of sense of why maybe we're not developing or progressing on the course, on the journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how we can remain steadfast, because it is an uphill struggle within ourselves to that level.
Right. How can a person measure their progress? You see, it's simple as that. That if it was another tariqa, it would have been difficult to answer you. But I'm saying that if anyone is doing the sheets, because we actually keep accountability, or for example, of that you are on the first level, organ level, which actually sincerity level, which you are doing, spiritual prayer level, which you are doing, etc. That exactly shows you in black and white that you are progressing or not. If you are not, meaning then you should ask for, if you are not able to do a sheet, it's becoming difficult for you in spite of trying. If you don't try, then I'm not going to do the sheet for you or zikr for you or anyone as such. But then you should ask that maybe there is an easier way to do that sheet or anything. But the question you have asked, really, when black and white I have given the sheets to you, that they mark your progress, and the more you are closer one by one to endo. And normally, if you have said the people, in spite of taking, maybe they have taken the knowledge of the tariqa and the book they have taken, but they have not, you are saying after 1 year, maybe they have not been practicing in 1 year at all, maybe not been in touch at all. Not actually, and they still be here after you are saying 10 years. I can tell you people who have been 20 years with me and they are still somewhere in the first place as they have to start. Because they know everything, but they are not starting, they are not drinking that actually, the sore bit, the sore medicine. They like it, they love it, they like it, they know it's truth, but they can't, they are not doing it, meaning actually simple. You stay there as well. But and the person who does, he will progress in any course. You go in a classroom and you are doing a degree 1-2 years, and you are sitting not doing homework, not actually assignments, you can go 20 years, you will still be there. And if you go properly, at least you are doing assignment these seven organs are like assignments of your spiritual course. So you do a complete first assignment, second assignment, third, then the assignments of the purification of the mind, there's that level, their mind, and then the heart, which we talked about, there's few assignments there, and then you get certificate and some kind of qualification. One thing why people suffer and don't develop, as you have said, and don't, is because they lose the motivation, they lose the dedication, they lose the interest. The solution of that is now not that you, for example, knowledge, let's say for example, you know the pleasure of Allah is there, that is your target. Second thing is you know how to get there, you know as well, meaning you know the sheet system, how it works as well. Now if you are not benefiting, this means there is no use telling you the pleasure, your aim is the pleasure of Allah, that's how you reach, because these two things you already have. Only the third thing which you don't have is the flame of wantness and the flame of motivation to keep you going. And that comes, it's like you have everything ready, you want to make a good pizza or a curry, you put everything, lentils, onions, everything, but there is no gas in the oven. How will it be cooked? You can sit there not for 1 year, but 10 years still will be there, or it will even go worse. You can't make a curry out of it. So the next question comes, that then how does one develop that motivation? How does one develop that dedication? Is there any nutrition for that? Yes, there is. The nutrition for motivation also need nutrition. Motivation is not just it comes from nowhere and it goes through nowhere. It has its nutrition, it needs energy. That comes from what we shown in the very beginning, the things which are mentioned in the journey of man diagram, attending the assemblies, the majalis of nasiha and dhikr, of admonition of the Ahlullah and Sufiya. Because that was the first thing which brought you, and it will again reignite the, you may say, that flame in you. So attending, in your words, meaning, it will meaning if you can't attend, listen on the internet or keep reading books, a little bit of books on Akhirah, Day of Judgment, the temporal nature of dunya, about these topics. Reading, listening, attending the majalis and doing your at least dhikr and muraqabah, because that these things then will keep you motivated and going. If you become lazy in them, it's like you have unplugged the plug of a charger of a phone. After the current battery depletes, gone now. You need to charge again. You don't say to your phone, yeah, I've charged it yesterday, I'm not going to charge it today, I've done it once now. It knows how to get the charge and it should be there. It doesn't matter what you say, it's just going to go off. Simple as that. You need to plug it again. So similarly, the majalis of Ahlullah, the Zikr and Nasiha, which we do Monday, one gathering, there's a Thursday, there's Wednesday, there's Sunday or Friday, five discourses at least I do. And I don't do it for uselessness, that I have no, for example, I have nothing else to do and I'm doing them. It is for need, I need, you need. And if I need five discourses, then you, if you're seekers, how much they need to listen. And they, if they're not listening, if I ask, are you listening? I'm trying to listen. Have you listened Thursday Majlis, which is really for the people who want development? Yes, I did it last month once, and half I was sleeping in that even as well. Then this will be the result. You think it is a joke that Shaitan is going to give you an easy ride? Yes, yes, come, gentlemen, there is the way to Jannah. I'll give you a push as well. Or actually that you have to fight your way and do mujahidah. So there is no, Allah SWT said in the Quran, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ مَنْ تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. You think you will enter Jannah for nothing and you don't have to go through hardship like previous way. Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah na'uz billah was enemy of Allah, that he had to go through hardship, or he was the most beloved and a friend wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he has to go through, why me and you? not go through little bit of difficulty compared to his. So
yeah.
So if you want to develop motivation, you lose after knowledge and methodology, you lose. Then this is the solution. Attend the majalis, listen to again and again with ponder. Even you are drowned in the sea of sin, Shaykh Ahmad ibn Tawla Sikandari said, even if you are drowned in the sea of sin, don't leave the majalis of Salihin. Attend the weekly gatherings. Even if you are coming out of pub, out of a brother, still actually do come, because here you will get one day the solution. Otherwise actually you lost that chance. This is your only rope. When you are actually drowned in this dark sea of sin, this attending the Salihin, gathering the, listening to them is your only rope of safety which can bring you out again. If you let it go, that as well, you lost then. You are lost in the sea without anything. So even if you are not doing dhikr, if you are not doing, you know what your problem is. Shaykh's dua cannot do anything for you if you are not willing. What is the dua of the Shaykh? When the person being who accepts dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is saying, Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma bikum hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim. I am not going to change the condition of people until they are interested in changing as well what is in them. And then people, dua karo ji, Hazrat sahab, dua karo ji. Seedha bhai kaho, bhai humare liye zikr kar diya karo aake, humare liye gunahun se bach jaya karo aake. They are saying, dua were tasks. Dua ka ye matlab. Dua te se kami nahi hai. Angels are doing dua for the people on the earth. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is doing dua in his grave. Anbiya are doing dua for the people. So you, but you are suffering is not lackness of dua. Dua karo, dua karo, dua karo. It is lackness of action and you are not playing your role. It's like a person who is marrying and not actually going closer to his wife. Dua kare, dua karo, bacha ho. Then after 6 months, dua karo, bacha ho. But kaise bacha hoga ki jab wo apna biwi ke ghar ke kareeb bhi nahi ja raha. Sare bande milke uske liye dua kare, phir bhi bacha nahi hoga. It's not going to happen. So similarly, you are also child of piety or righteousness is going to be born when you actually come together with righteousness and you come together with them. Like one bazoor, he actually, someone came to him and said, give me a ta'weez, a dua to, I don't have a child. A simple person from village came, I don't have a baby. He said, read this. He said, I can't read. Okay. He said, he wrote a ta'weez. He said, okay, read this ta'weez. Inshallah. And he went away. When he was a little bit further away, he thought he's a simple person. He called him back. He said, I have given ta'weez, but do sleep with your wife as well. This ta'weez is not going to now bring the child on itself. Because people, and like the simple mindedness of this person, that's how me and you are spiritually simple minded. That we are saying without our action, Allah does. Allah says, I'm not going to do it like this. So you have to bite and swallow this bitter medicine of the zikr and tazkiyah and going against the desire, then only. Otherwise, laziness, no one is getting anywhere actually. Unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fazl and mercy. The Mashayikh has given the example of this person. They have said it's like someone who is earning livelihood and money, making business, doing business and things. And then there is someone who is standing in front of the sea, seashore. And in the sea there are pearls, can be found, very precious pearls and things. And he is standing on the seashore, never gets into, others are going diving and bringing some pearl. And he is standing there saying, maybe one wave come and it brings a pearl, throw the pearl at me. That's how they are wishful thinking. Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi said, he narrated a hadith in his own words. He said, Iyyakum tamanni, beware of just wishful thinking of being righteous and friendship of Allah. Maya, because this is the jungle of the fools. They are not going, it's a paradise of fools. Nothing is going to happen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself also says, وَمَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. Don't be deceived by Allah.
regarding Allah, not by Allah, but regarding in relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam Hassan Basri said, what does it mean? How can one deceive in relation to Allah be deceived? He said, not doing the righteous deed, doing sins and hoping that Allah will forgive you and make you his friend. He said, this is deception. This is person is not going to get anything he has to. If Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah have to do mujahida, I have to do mujahida. He was more beloved to Allah than me when he was born. If Sayyidina Abdul Aziz Dabbal have to wander 12 years and then 4 or 5 years do big mujahida, a little bit of effort, we have to do it as well. If you are serious, otherwise you will be like others are. There is no lackness of people who are going in hell. As the hadith says, the majority of people will go in hell, only minority will go in Jannah. And because of these things, ٹھیک ہے جی جزاک اللہ اللہ سبحانہ وتعالیٰ یہ بس انڈرسٹینڈنگ سبحانک اللہم و بحمدک نشہد ان لا الہ الا انت نستغفرک و نتوب الیک بیفور وی فنش دس از دی ٹیکسٹ آف سم ڈیٹیلز آف دا کورس ان انگلش وچ وی ڈیڈ ناٹ ہیو ٹائم ٹو گو تھرو مے بی نیکسٹ ایئر وی گو تھرو بٹ دا تھنگز اف یو ڈونٹ وانٹ لائک فار ایگزامپل وی اسپوک اباؤٹ rebirth, sins of the tongue. If you want to know which are the kabira sins of the tongue, it lists them. It also lists the exceptions when the eight condition or the eight situation where you can do rebirth and it's not sinful. The four situation where you can, for example, lie as such, but it is not sinful. So it gives you exception and some other. So you can look and for what brothers have there, and also you can purchase one for I think £1.50 or £2. It has the notes for the course by a great scholar of Fez, Morocco, Imam Ibn Ashir. Ibn Ashir, great scholar. He also wrote actually on this theme as well. We bhi aap leke ja sakte hain. Plus the brothers are preparing this full series, the exposition of 10 verses of Surah Al-Mu'minin, which was the foundation of our meaning talk. So it is being prepared. You can buy that or on internet it's free, or you want to buy it in CD form, you can inshallah do that as well. And keep listening and attending majalis, and alhamdulillah you will benefit. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك نشهد ان لا اله الا انت نستغفرك ونتوب اليك. One more.